Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 21st, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. In fact, folks, after my last program, I found that I have a call that I need to return, and if that brother's listening to me, I will call you tonight after this program and get back with you and see what we can do. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a satellite radio program. Anyway, radio program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.padomatic.com. If you go to prophecyhour.com, on the right, there's a link for the branch site. It says End Time Radio Programs. Both are real smartphone friendly. And in fact, on the End Time Radio Archive site, which is branch.padomatic.com, over there, you have apps that you can download to your cell phone. Anyway, but you don't have to do that. They're smartphone friendly. You can just click on the programs and either download them or have them streamed to you. Anyway, now, folks, remember, Shavuot or Pentecost falls this weekend it's on the first day of the week, Sunday. It is a celebration of the giving of the commandments on Mount Sinai, as well as the receiving of the Holy Spirit to those that were gathered in the upper room. I always read both. What we'll read tomorrow night, on Sabbath, I will read about the giving of the commandments on Mount Sinai and about how 3,000 died that day because of the golden calf, and then I'll read to them about Pentecost and how about 3,000 were saved that day when the Holy Spirit was given. So anyway, make sure you do something for Pentecost or Shavuot. Anyway, prayer now, then we'll get on with our program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears and words to hear the truth. So please, Father, King of the Universe, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I chose to share with you some things instead of having a guest. But first I want to set the mood by playing a song by Brother Ben.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
As in the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought, forgetting about the flood. In anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more. But little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever. Your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's ark today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
Well, folks, that was a song by Brother Ben McKnight. He had a radio program called 70th Week Magazine back in the 90s. He sent me the music way back then and gave me a cassette of it and said, use it to prosper your ministry. Well, we use it once in a while in the program because I believe the songs are so relevant to the time. Anyway, folks, many people believe that America is Babylon the Great, spoken of in Revelation 17 and 18. This Babylon is taken out by the 10 nations spoken of in Revelation 17. They will burn her with fire and make her desolate and naked, the word says. Russia could be one of these 10 nations. Most of you, I don't know if you keep track of the news or what you do, but Russia, the Russian bear, as many call it, is awakening. Putin is sending bombers and fighters and spy planes of all sorts overflying airspaces of many countries around the world. I see new headlines about this weekly, at least, sometimes two or three times a week. They over and over, countries are scrambling their fighters to ward off these intrusions. Many times they grow so close that if it was during the Cold War, the planes would have been fired upon. And still, over and over, they test the defenses. This is what you would see if a nation was going to attack. They test the defenses of the enemy, of the other nations. Oh, and this is not limited to aircraft, but we also see ships docking closer and closer, making bases in South America for refueling and so on and so forth. Things that would not even have been tolerated in the 60s under Kennedy, of course. And also, the United States and other countries have submarines sneaking into their waterways, checking us out. Why would they be spending such a huge amount of money doing this if they weren't going to do something? But they do it over and over. We even had an airplane that they dove so close they were within feet, kind of like on Tom Cruise, you know, Top Gun, where he gets real close to the other fighter. Well, the Russian fighters have did that to our fighters and have gotten that close. Under a normal environment, we would have fired on them. But with this president, we have a president that I believe that if a nuclear weapon was sent towards us, that he wouldn't even fire back. We have a president who, we could go on for hours. We'll talk about that later, but let's go on with this. What's the motivation for nuclear war? Why would Russia be doing this? Are you folks aware that Moscow, Russia, considers itself to be the third Rome. That's right. After Constantinople fell, they even moved a whole huge amount of artifacts, religious artifacts, to Moscow. And did you know that 90%, 96%, I believe it was, I read the other day, of the people in Russia are Orthodox Christians. And they believe their leaders to be of a divine nature. You know, not saying that they're completely holy beings, but they believe them to be divine. In other words, appointed by God. They look at America's smut, pornography, abortions, gay marriage, gay rights, and they see an abomination. What do you see when you see all these things? All this, the women walking around in barely any clothes and all of the things on TV. What do you think the rest of the world thinks about that? The rest of the world used to follow America as we were a nation called of God, to bring the Bible forth, the gospel forth, and to protect Israel. But we're not doing either one of those things right now. America has kicked their Heavenly Father out of the schools and their lives. Christians are daily under attack because they haven't stood up for their Father, and the church hasn't stood up. So what's going to happen? It's the persecution is coming. It's just like with all the baking of the cakes for the gays. Well, you notice that they don't attack Muslims for not baking cakes for the gays. No, they just attack the Christians. Christianity is under fire in the United States. And so when the finale comes, if it is indeed Russia that attacks America, which I believe they will, whether or not we're Babylon or not, we act like Babylon, but I think they will think they do God a service by destroying Babylon. And would they be right? You need to think about that. In Russia, they don't allow gay marriage. They don't get, they're down on homosexuality and all these other things. And do some research and see what they are and what they think and what they believe. You might really be surprised. And I'm not saying that they're more holy than some of the people in the United States, but who's more holy, those that are saved or those that are unsaved? We are becoming a place for a habitation of devils. It seems that every day you turn and there's just more and more of people turning away from the Father. We kicked him out of the schools. We kicked him out of all the high places. And so why would he bless this nation when we don't bless him? So, yes, I think they think they will do God a service. If Russia comes against America, as I believe that they will at some point, then, again, it doesn't matter whether you believe that they're Babylon or not. They will come against this nation, and I believe that that time is close, maybe even so close as to before Obama leaves office. Because, you know, we have a window here that like I said at the first of the program, we have a president that I don't believe would fire a shot back. If we have a changing of the guard and have a president, I know you don't like Bush, but Bush would have fired back, you know, so would most conservative presidents. I don't believe Obama would fire back, and I believe that the nations know that. They believe Obama to be a coward. So, again, I can't say for sure that indeed America is Babylon, but it does act like it, and there is a case for it. Let me read you a little bit out of Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Doesn't that sound like America? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God, Yahweh, has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double under her double according to the works in her cup, which she has filled full to her double. how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit in a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. That sounds like America. Therefore her plague shall come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And that was the King James Version, 1769. Now, a prophecy, and I don't know if I have time to read all of this before break, and some of you may know who Dimitri Dudeman is. He was somebody that came to America in the 90s. He used to smuggle Bibles, but he was miraculously protected. He had dream visions, so to speak, and sometimes he didn't know what to call them. He think it was just visitation from an angel, and I think he said it was the angel Gabriel. So let me start with this. In 1973, Dmitry began smuggling large quantities of Bibles over the Russian border. He had established many connections with outside missionaries who would supply him with Bibles. Through many miraculous occurrences, God continually protected Dmitry. In one instance, God even blinded the eyes of the police so they could not see his car filled with Bibles that he was riding in. In all of his years of smuggling Bibles, he was never caught. In 1979, based on information received from informants within the Christian church, Dmitry was arrested and brutally tortured for over 5 months. Every means imaginable was used, from electric shock to breaking 9 of his ribs, trying to attain the names of the people who helped Dmitry smuggle Bibles. With God's help, he never broke under the severe persecution, and he never revealed the names of his Christian brothers. While Dmitry was in prison, God spoke to him through an angel, encouraging him to fear, for he had much work to do, encouraging him not to fear. And he was told he would be released and that he would smuggle Bibles into Romania and into Russia for another 5 years. Just as the angel had said, after the death of the colonel who was heading up the investigation, Dmitry was released, and for another 4 years he faithfully did the work of God. Over a 15-year period, with God's help, Dmitry smuggled more than 300,000 Bibles, New Testaments, into Russia alone, not taking into account the number of Bibles that he distributed throughout Romania. On July 24, 1984, Dmitry and his entire family were expelled from Romania by the communist officials, and he had given two options, either leave the country or die. Now I want to say something first. I met this man in person, and this is why I do believe that he was called of the Father. And this is a fitting thing for, I don't know what you believe, what tongues are or whatever, but let me tell you this. I saw him at a meeting that I was helping out with, and at the first of the meeting, he, and I'll give you the vision in a minute, but at a meeting, he, at the first of the meeting, he made everybody sing a song, you know, and so everybody sang a song a cappella. He said to get the Holy Spirit going in the room. And then afterwards, he said that the Holy Spirit was upset because there were cigarettes in the room, and he didn't want to do anything until the people had given up their cigarettes. So he said, come on, right now. Bring all your cigarettes up. Now, mind you, he was Romanian. He could not speak in English, and his grandson was interpreting for him. But anyway, all these people brought up cigarettes, and they threw them basically down at his feet. And he stomped on them, you know, and crushed them with his feet. And then afterwards, you know, he said a prayer and started the meeting. Well, he gave the testimony, and afterwards, well, I was cleaning up, you know, I was sweeping and putting up chairs, and I was about 10 or 15 foot, maybe, well, I had to be as close as 10 foot from where Dmitry was at with his grandson. And these, a few of the guys, maybe 3 or 4 of the guys and a girl, they came up and they said, well, to his grandson, they said, well, listen, we were part of the people that brought our cigarettes up. And, you know, we don't really believe that we should be smoking, but we're not strong. And so we want to ask if your grand, want you to ask your grandfather if he would pray for us so that we don't pick our cigarettes up again. And so, you know, his grandson asked him in Romanian, and you could see Dmitry answer him in Romanian, and he shook his head. And so he turned back around, Michael, that's his grandson, turned back around to him, and told the people, they said, yes, he'll pray for you. And so they bowed, everybody bowed their heads. Well, I'm 10 foot away. And I thought, well, I'm going to agree with this in prayer. I don't need to be able to understand him. They're not going to understand him. That's what they were just told, that he would pray for them, and all they had to do was agree. They didn't have to understand him. And so his grandson, just before the moment before the prayer started, he turned around and walked off. So now we have Dimitri and these people and me, and Dimitri starts to pray. He prays in Romanian, and I felt a cold rush that it seemed like it came from the bottom of my feet. It could have come from the top. I don't know. But I think that it came from the bottom and went and felt like it burst out of the top of my head. And then I realized at that same moment, I was hearing him speak in Romanian, but I understood every word of it in English, you know. And so I was shocked. I had never had that happen to me before. And I don't know how to explain it, except that I understood it. But I did know one thing. I believe from that moment on that this man was indeed called of God, that he was a prophet. Now, he has a lot of prophecies, and while he never put a time frame on him, other people did put time frames on them. But I believe him I believe he believed what he was saying, and I saw that gift. And I had I know other testimonies, personal testimonies that people gave about how he knew, like one person wanted an answer to a question that they had, but they wanted him to be able to give them the answer without asking the question. He did that without being told. He just came up to the person and told them. And so, you know, I do believe that he was who he says he was. I don't know the miraculous. I do know that you should read the dreams and visions. You can find them at the Hand of Help website. I'll also put a link up on our website tonight instead of mine where the link goes. I will have a link to the Hand of Help website so that you may find all of his dreams and visions and those of his grandson who has carried on his work. And by the way, the money that they did raise from his speaking tours and places that he went to speak in churches went to the Hand of Help, which is an orphanage in Romania. So the money went to feed the widows and orphans. But anyway, folks, so I'll be back, I'll be right back in 3 minutes with more of this.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And remember, folks, that Pentecost Shabbat is this weekend, this Sunday. And remember that it just didn't start on the day of the apostles, that actually Pentecost dates way back to the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. So actually, guess what? The Jews were the first Pentecostals. Okay, let's go with that. But now we're going to have another song to set the mood for the second half of the program right now.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. A bush was burning with the flame. By the power of God's glory, was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off, cause he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, and he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, "You come with sword and shield, but I, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel," he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing, standing on holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
Well, folks, are you standing on holy ground? Are you in His will? The safest place to be is in the will of your Father, and that's exactly who He is. He is your Father, and you're going to need it with what's coming upon this country. Now, again, I can't prove anything what I say tonight, and I'm not claiming that I had a vision of thus saith the Lord that all this works. I'm just putting some things together for you and taking you now to this dream vision from Dimitri Dudeman, and we're going to do that first, and then we'll talk when we get done. It's September 1984. This is Dimitri Dudeman. Late one night, I could not sleep. The children were sleeping on the luggage. He had just got here from America. My wife and daughter were crying, and I went outside and walked around. I didn't want to see them to see me cry. I walked around the building crying and saying, "God, why did you punish me? Why did you bring me into this country? I can't understand anybody, and if I try to ask anybody anything, is all I hear is, I don't know." He was in California, and I went to California once. In fact, that was every time I asked somebody something in California, that's what they said. "I don't know. I just got here myself." Anyway, moving on with the dream. I stopped in front of an apartment and sat on a large rock. Suddenly, a bright light came towards me. I jumped to my feet because it looked as if a car was coming directly at me, attempting to run me down. I thought the Romanian secret police has tracked me to America, and now they were trying to kill me. But it wasn't a car at all. As the light approached, it surrounded me. From the light, I heard the same voice that I had heard from so many times in prison. He said, "Dimitri, why are you so despaired?" I said, "Why did you punish me? Why did you bring me to this country? I have nowhere to lay my head down. I can't understand anybody." And he said, "Dimitri, didn't I tell you I am here with you also? I brought you to this country because this country will burn." I said, "Then why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in my own country? You should have let me die in that jail in Romania." And he said, "Dimitri, have patience so I can tell you. Get on this." I got on something next to him. I don't really know what it was. I also know that I was not asleep. It was not a dream. It was not a vision. I was awake just as I am now. So this sounds, folks, like a visitation. I have one of those, but never mind. We'll go into that at another time. He showed me all of California and said, "This is Sodom and Gomorrah. All of this in one day, it will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One." And then he took me to Las Vegas. "This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn." And then he showed me the state of New York. "Do you know what this is?" he asked. And I said, "No." He said, "This is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn." Then he showed me all of Florida. "This is Florida," he said. "This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn." And then he took me back home to the rock where it all begun. "In one day, it will burn. All of this I have shown you." I said, "Well, how will it burn?" He said, remember what I'm telling you, because you will go on television and on radio and in churches. You must yell with a loud voice. Do not be afraid, because I will be with you," he said. I said, "How will I be able to go? Who knows me here in America? I don't know anybody here." And he said, "Don't worry yourself. I will go before you. I will do a lot of healing in American churches. I will open the doors for you." But do not say anything else besides what I tell you, this country will burn. I said, what will you do with the church? He said, I want to save the church, but the churches have forsaken me. I said, how did they forsake you? He said, the people praise themselves. The honor that the people are supposed to give Jesus Christ, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are divorces. There is adultery in the churches. There are homosexuals in the churches. There is abortion in the churches and all other sins that are possible. Because of all this sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell in a loud voice that they must put an end to their sinning. They must turn towards the Lord. The Lord gets never tired of forgiving. They must draw close to the Lord and live a clean life. If they have sinned until now, they must put an end to it and start a new life as the Bible tells them to live. I said, well, how will America burn? America is the most powerful country in the world. Why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you just at least let us all die, or die where all the Dudemans have died? And he said, remember this, Dudeman. The Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. Pause for a moment. You know, remember back in Bill Clinton's day, they had brought Russians in, and Russians, I even saw some of them up here at the gas station, but because they were visiting McConnell Air Force Base, they were visiting places all around the United States because they had some kind of strange program going on where they were, we were letting people, letting Russians in and seeing some of our sites. In fact, one Russian general got to witness a missile silo that was being decommissioned, blown up. So, moving right along. When will the Americans, okay, he said, remember this, Studeman, the Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. When the Americans will think that it is peace and safety from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the ocean, Cuba, Nicaragua, Nicaragua, Mexico, and Dimitri then says, he told me two other countries, but I didn't remember what they were. They will bomb the nuclear warehouses. Then they will explode. America will burn. Another pause. That would have been possible in Dimitri's day because those countries weren't really that friendly to the Russians. Now the Russians are trying to make bases in those countries for their ships and things. So while this was given a long time ago, this is you can see how some of these things weren't possible then but are coming possible now. He says then, well, what will you pause over? When will you do, what will you do with the church of the Lord? How will you save the ones that turn towards you? I ask. He said, tell them this, how I saved the young ones from the furnace of fire and how I saved Daniel in the lion's den. It is the same way I will save them. Well, that was like Esau, Meshach, and Abednego, saved them in the fiery furnace. Yeshua was with them. And amen. So that was a great thing. The angel of the Lord also told me, I have blessed this country because of the Jewish people who are in this country. I have 7 million Jews in this country, but they do not want to recognize the Lord. They didn't want to thank God for a blessing they received in this country. Israel doesn't want to recognize Jesus Christ. They put their faith in the Jewish people in America, but when America burns, the Lord will raise China, Japan, and other nations to go against the Russians. They will beat the Russians and push them all back to the gates of Paris. Over there, they will make a treaty and appoint the Russians as their leaders. They will then unite against Israel. When Israel realizes she does not have the strength of America behind her, she will be frightened. And, folks, that's why I believe some way America has to be taken out of the picture. For I believe that the Bible tells us that all the nations will go against Israel, but the only way that they would have the guts to do that or the power to do that is if America somehow would either not fight for Israel, and that looks like what our president's doing now, or could not fight for Israel. So, again, I couldn't see that before, but I can see it now. That's when she will turn to Messiah for deliverance. That's when Messiah will come. Then the church will meet Yeshua in there, or he says Jesus, but I say Yeshua, in the air. And he will bring them back with him to the Mount of Olives. At that time, the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. When I heard all this, I said, if you're truly the angel of the Lord, everything you've told me is true. You have said must be written in the Bible. Tell everyone to read from Jeremiah 51, 8 to 15, Revelation chapter 18, and Zechariah chapter 14, where Messiah fights against those who possess the earth. After his victory, the angel said, there will be one flock and one shepherd. Hey, the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, right? There will be no need for light. The Lamb of God will be their light. There will be no sickness, no tears, no death. There only will be eternal joy. And the Father, or God, they say, will be the ruler. There will only be one language and only one song. No need for a translator. And Demetri continued, a word of warning. If you keep anything from the American people that you are told, I will punish you severely. How will I know that this is for real and that it will really happen? I ask. As a sign that I have spoken to you tomorrow, Demetri, before you wake, I will send you someone to bring you a bed. And at noon, I will send you a car and a bucket of honey, after which I will send someone to pay your rent. The next day, someone brought Demetri a bed, and at noon a car arrived with a bucket of honey. His rent was also paid, as God had promised him. See, you can see this, and this comes from chapter 10 of the book, Through the Fire Without Burning. But if you Google Hand of Help, that you'll find a listing of all of his prophecies there. And one other that I have to tack on to the end of this, in another Demetri was asked, why did God name America Mystery Babylon? Tell them because all the nations of the world emigrated to America with their own gods and were not stopped. Encouraged by the freedom here, the wickedness began to increase. Later on, even though America was established as a Christian nation, the American people began to follow the strange gods that the immigrants had brought in with them and also turned their backs on God who had built and prospered this country. This was an excerpt from Dreams and Visions from God, 1984. Now, folks, let me get back here to my notes. America, is America Babylon? You can pray about it and ask. You know, that's what you need to do. You need to get on your face and ask. But America is a form of Babylon. Even if you don't believe it's the one here of the Bible or he was true, it is Babylon. That's what it acts like. But look at this. With all of these immigrants coming into our countries, they're bringing other gods. This was supposed to be a nation of God, but we kicked God out of it. The sin of America is great because it once served the king of the universe who is your father. That is your real father. Don't call any men on earth father. Call them dad. You know who they are. But your father, the person that loves you eternally and chastises you and gives you everything, is your heavenly father. And he is the king of the universe. But now our leadership in this nation do serve other gods. Just as Obama has called this a Muslim nation instead of a nation of God, of Christians. You know, in fact, there's still supposed to be about 70-some percent of the people out there that are Christians in this country. Why ask, where is your voice? Where is your voice? Why are there poor? Why are they still unsaved? Why are you not standing up and trying to save these Muslims that are coming into the country instead of trying to be politically correct with them and bring them in and having Chrislam inside of your churches? Why are you doing this? There is only one way to the Father, and you know what that is. Children in schools are being, in some schools in different parts of the nations, have even been taught how to pray to Allah. Even police officers have had to go to mosque and submit to these things. And you know what? Muslims say Allah has no sign. And I read the other day that that sign is posted in all the synagogues, but I do know that it's embedded on the steps of the Al-Aqsa Mosque as you go up on the Temple Mount. It says Allah has no sign. Well, he who denies the Son denies also the Father, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. You know, witchcraft is being taught in this country. You know, you can Google witchcraft and you can find a place to go and have a class and learn it. Same with Satanism and all these other occultic things. Well, yeah, hey, we're a free country, so why not? So all these abominations are coming in, and they want you to call them normal. They want you to actually put evil above good because they want to suppress Christianity. And so where is your voice? Is the church the body of Christ, which actually means the word is ecclesia, which means assembly, which means called out ones? Are the called out ones truly called out, or are you stuck in the world? What are you doing for Messiah? When's the last time that you made a sacrificial offering to Messiah, you know, or is it all about you? I mean, that isn't the way that it's supposed to be. We're supposed to put our best first for Messiah. Then that's what that's our time or our money. It's everything that we have. And how many of you will let your wife rule over you, you know, and over a God thing? You know, women, I love you, but you're not supposed to be the head of your households. Messiah is supposed to be the head of the household, and then under Messiah is a God-fearing man. Now, men, you don't have a right to be that head of your household unless you're saved and truly born again and willing to die for your wife, that you love her as much as yourself and you're willing to die for her. Then your wife should take her place as the queen of the house, and it should be a wonderful house. But this is the order of way things go, and then the children are underneath. So how the children across this nation are out of order? Well, how can they be in order when they don't have a dad, or where they don't have, or they have a dad and a mom, and all the order is messed up? You know, you need to pray and get things straight in your life and in your household. And then what does it tell to do us? It tells us to take care of the poor. Tells us to visit people in prisons and in hospital. When's the last time you've done one of these things? And Yeshua said to people, he'll divide the sheep from the goats. And that's how they'll be judged, on how they have treated the least of these. He says, whenever you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So what do you do? You know, what have you did for Messiah? You know, they say that the sacrificial system was done away with. Well, okay, well, let's listen to this. Yeshua is looking for living sacrifices. You know, meaning when you die, and Pentecost is this weekend, and so it's really appropriate that we're talking about this. When you die to Yeshua, die of your old self, the old self is supposed to die. You're supposed to become born again. That's a sacrifice, because you sacrifice your want and ways of the world so that Yeshua can live through you. He said he has become your Lord, but he tells people, he said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say. Well, is he saying that to you? Are you calling him Lord, Lord, and not doing the things that he says? To love your neighbors, to feed the poor, to do as he did when he walked the earth. He fed people. He healed the sick. The disciples went around without money because they gave it away. They sold all that they had, and they distributed it to the poor and the needy and those that has had need. Now, I'm not telling you should go sell everything, because the Torah also tells us that, you know, we are supposed to provide for ourselves and provide for our generations. But you are supposed to provide for the poor and for the helpless. And it's more than just the widows and orphans. You know, if you understood your Torah tells you that when a brother falls, that you quickly lift him up so that he is not harmed, and give him the things that he needs to restore him to his proper place. So he doesn't even experience hitting the street and being kicked out. So how many times have you seen a brother or sister start to get kicked out, and you had the money to pay their rent and you didn't do it? But do you still have that money in the bank? What are you going to do with it? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just talking, of course. But anyway, you all need to get right and pray. That's the point. I can't work out your salvation for you. You have to work it out. You have to work it out. You have to get on your knees and on your face and work it out. You know, if you read your Bible and the Bible doesn't pull on you and you have no emotion over, you really need to pray. because, you know, as was mentioned by Benjamin Baruch in the last hour, he was talking about his book and different things. We talked about how that, you know, if you hear these things and you feel that you don't need anything else, then, you know, has God given up on you? Because it's your whole life that you should change and grow until Yeshua comes back. You should still be growing. I don't care if you're 90 years old and listen to this program tonight. If you're still not growing, then where are you at? So, you know, pray about it. And so now, yeah, I didn't bother you too much with donations, but I am going to ask tonight that you would pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father noticed that all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 620-878-4682. And, you know, pray about it. We really do need your help, because, you know, the poor can't do it themselves. And right now, as we're going into Pentecost, and we are 21st day of the month, 9 days from the end of the month, we need a blessing. We need to be able to buy some food and some different things, and we really do need a blessing. So pray about it. It'd be nice if some of you would make a sacrificial gift. So pray about it. If you live in Wichita, you can bring by eggs and hamburger and chicken and things of those sorts. You can bring those things by the Mission Church and donate them if you don't want to donate money. And I find that our largest group of listeners, at least from the podcast, from branch.podomatic.com, is in Wichita. So, and I do appreciate, I know I've got a couple of maybe three people over there that donated a little bit of money every week, and it ain't a little bit, because it really helps out. One donation comes every Friday, and boy, it's a blessing. So all donations are a blessing. So pray about it, please. Remember, there is only one God. He is really your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and He gave His life for your repented sins. You're supposed to repent and turn away from sin. That's how you become saved. He rose after 3 days and three nights into the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. And I say 3 days and three nights because they ask Him, the Pharisees, they said, well, what is your sign? What's the sign given if you are who you say you are? He said, there's only one sign given to the Son of Man, and that is the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. The Word tells us we must walk even as He walked. Well, you know, He kept all of His Father's commandments. We should try to keep all of His Father's commandments, but we're not perfect. That's why He had to die for us. But I challenge you folks, you should start keeping the Sabbath, because you'll find it's a great blessing. And then study about the feast, because you'll find out there's so much more to them, and that they will greatly bless you. Just as Shabbat, or Shavuot, that is coming this week. It's the end of the Feast of Weeks. So pray about it and study these things. But most of all, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and that's in your own prayer closet, on the floor, on your face, on your knees. Get on your knees and humble yourself. Humble yourself down. Take your shoes off, as the song says, and humble down. Get ready, because we're in for a big ride. Unless America repents, it's going to get so much worse here before Yeshua returns. You won't believe it. And even if we get, if we're blessed and the Russians don't blow us up or some other nation, then there's still severe persecution over and over. And if you can't see it, and it's in the spiritual world right now, every Christian that I know, just about, that is a devout Christian, that is a believer in Yeshua, is under persecution, especially his ministries. So pray about supporting this ministry. If you don't want to support the poor, support the radio ministry, because we need your help. I still owe for airtime this month, so I need money to pay the station. The station needs to eat. Anyway, I got to get out of here. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.